Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Shout out to everybody on the stream watching on YouTube. Appreciate you. Last comment I see is from Adrian Green. He says, happy early Mother's Day to all the moms here and in heaven. Shout out to all the moms. Happy Mother's Day in advance. Schedule's coming, man. Schedule's coming. I think folks are excited. Here's some official information from the league. Schedule release is Wednesday night, 8 o'clock.
A lot of this will probably, right?
Whatever day Wednesday is.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of that will probably get released over the course of the day. Some of that will probably get released right here on this program. But the NFL will announce the international games Tuesday morning on Good Morning Football.
All right.
So if this playing the Dolphins in Spain, rumor report is true, we'll know Tuesday morning. There's also a lot of other games that will get released on NBC Monday morning on the Today Show. So that's Monday morning. That's in, 2 days. Today Show's early. Today Show, I think, is what, 7 to 10?
Early.
I should probably know this, but something like that. There will be one game announced during the Today Show Monday morning. My guess is that's the season opener. I think that's usually on ESPN. On NBC, rather. That'll be a Philly home game because they won the Super Bowl. It's entirely possible that's Commanders-Eagles. I think they'll save that game, but it's entirely possible that's Commanders-Eagles season opener.
Could be.
It could be. So we'll know the Eagles opener on Monday morning. On Monday, also on Fox and on Prime Video, they all get to announce a game. So I'm guessing Fox announces their opener.
This NFL is big time, bro. They say, look, the schedule release is Wednesday night. We're going to allow some of y'all some tidbits. Well, but you better not say anything that we don't allow you.
I know. Here's what's wild, B, is think about this. So NBC is announcing it Monday on the Today Show. Bang. Fox is announcing it Monday. And somebody tell me if I'm incorrect on this. I don't think Fox has like a national morning show. Now, obviously Fox News or Fox Business, but like just the straight up Channel 5 locally, Fox, I don't think they do a national program like that.
Not that I know of.
Right? So they might just be announcing that on like social media or something. I don't know. But they're going to announce one. And maybe they
might have a show just to do it.
Yo, they might.
It's NFL, baby.
You're right. They might just be like, you know what?
We got a special going on.
We're getting
on.
Terry Bradshaw live Hell at yeah. noon or whatever. So Fox is going to announce one. And then I don't know how they do this. Prime Video, Amazon gets to announce a game on Monday. So Amazon probably gets to announce the second Thursday game of the year.
Probably so.
Because the first one, I believe, is at NBC, that season opener with the Super Bowl winner. So we're going to know three games officially Monday morning. Or Monday at some point. Then on Tuesday morning, ESPN, so Disney owns ESPN and they own ABC.
Yeah.
So Tuesday morning on Good Morning America on ABC, ESPN gets to announce a game. That's probably the first Monday night game of the year, I would guess. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that Monday nighter, the first Monday of the season is a doubleheader.
Doubleheader, yeah.
So they could be announcing a doubleheader right there. Would it shock you at all if the Commanders are open on Monday night?
No.
Hell no.
No. Nothing about them getting primetime games and cachet now would surprise me. Before, I would have been surprised.
If they, this is a total random shot in the dark, but if we get to Tuesday morning and on Good Morning America, they say the Commanders open the season hosting the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football. Doesn't that all add up?
Yeah.
The two playoff teams, two young quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm not going to be shocked.
Doug, so we also know Tuesday morning on Good Morning Football, they're going to announce all the international games. Well, I'm not done yet. We haven't even gotten to the official release Wednesday
they
night.
They are going to have ratings before they even show up on Tuesday.
They're
going to
get ratings announcing when the games are.
Yes.
So Tuesday morning we'll get international and ESPN will make their announcement. I assume that's the first Monday Night Football game. Maybe that's a doubleheader. Wednesday morning on CBS mornings, they're going to announce a game. My guess is that's their opener, or maybe they just want to announce some big game in November. I don't know what they'll announce. Mm-hmm. You also have Netflix on Wednesday, and I don't know when Netflix – it's not like Netflix has a live show to throw this to. Maybe they just put it out on social. I don't know. Netflix –
it'd be a good thing to do. Sit down after playing a nice round of golf and watch the thing. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, Jay.
B, this news will be out before you're on the course. You're out west.
Yeah, but I'm going to be on the plane.
You fly out Wednesday morning or Tuesday night?
Wednesday morning.
Okay, you'll see it on your phone. Netflix is also...
I will be asleep.
Okay, well, you'll see it eventually. Netflix is also announcing their games Wednesday. Netflix has the two Christmas games. I believe that's all they have. I would assume they're announcing both.
Could be.
And then the full schedule gets released Wednesday night. Considering that, NBC, Fox, Amazon, ESPN, CBS, and Netflix are all announcing at least one game. And if I had to guess, a couple of these are announcing two.
When they announce...
I'd almost wager that the Commanders are in on one of these.
How many people you think are going to be watching every one of those shows and have like a little... Remember we had the big board? Have like a board trying to figure out what's the schedule's going to be. How many people you think would be doing it? By the time it gets to that thing, you're going to have...
we have the board in here from last year.
Everyone is going to be clamoring for that release that Wednesday night.
Totally. I think...
They draw numbers that other leagues just wish they can draw.
Knowing the international games get released Tuesday, and knowing that there's going to be announcements about primetime games, I bet we know over under 2.5 games officially announced. I'm not saying something I report or Sheehan or just gets leaked from around the internet. Officially announced over under 2.5 games before the official schedule release Wednesday night for the Commanders.
Over.
So you're getting to 3.
I'm going over, yeah.
Landville, over under 2.5. Landville?
I'm definitely going over.
Jeffrey?
Of course they're going to want them boys in prime time.
Coach Prime is here.
They're going to want that boy Jaden Daniels. They're going to want him in prime time.
Now, they're not going to announce every primetime game. I'm just saying the ones they do announce. So that's international, and then probably the opener, the Christmas games.
Yeah.
My guy DJ's in D.C. He wanted to talk primetime. What's up, DJ? Got to turn that radio down, dog.
What's up, Mitch? How y'all feeling?
We're good, man.
Look, so here's the thing, man. I'm 35 years old, right? So, JP, I heard you say that you think the time of the Commanders and their primetime suckiness is over. They've sucked my whole life, and that's my squad. I still got PTDS, post-traumatic Dan Snyder. You know what I'm saying? So I need for them to establish themselves for another year or two before we really start getting into this primetime thing, and I'm feeling really healthy about it. You know what I mean?
Doug, I think you got to wipe the slate, man.
Yeah,
I think you got to take the blue pill, and move on with your life.
Man, like, look, I've only taken one blue pill in my life, JP. I don't know about another one.
You go from 12 to 6, I bet, or 6 to 12, which other way?
Better try to
I understand how bad it was in the Dan era. I understand. But the Dan era is over. They just announced the NFL draft's coming to town. They're about to rebuild RFK Stadium. The best young quarterback in football wears burgundy and gold. You got to move on, bro.
You're right, JP. It's looking up. And you're 1,000% right. It's looking up. But for 33 of my 35 years of living, it's been one thing. You know what I'm saying? So if we can establish it for another year, we don't even got to make the championship game again. But if we can, you know, make the playoffs and really establish ourselves, I'm cool with it. We can do Christmas. We can do Thanksgiving, Halloween, whatever y'all want to do. I'm with it.
Halloween. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Thank you, DJ.
That'll be a wild game, yeah.
There's a Henry David Thoreau quote that I love. Walk confidently in the direction of your dreams, bro. We've survived. We're like Moses. We made it out the desert. Now we're walking confidently down East Capitol to RFK Stadium. Dog.
Stop looking in that rearview mirror. It's so small. And start looking in the outside, the big windshield in front of you. That's big, right?
Keep these phone lines
big
open.
Big possibilities, baby.
Damn right. 10 more minutes or so. 800-636-1067. Jeffrey, yes. I know you want to say something.
Yo, I'm just saying. I'm in these Twitter streets, these PlayStation Network streets, these Xbox. Yo, people want to see Jaden Daniels. I have never in all of my years of playing Madden got tired of playing the Commanders or playing the Redskins. Like, it seems like everybody want to use our team now. The people want to see. So we're going to have, I wouldn't be surprised if we have 4 or 5 primetime games.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate Jeff's analysis based on Madden. My guy Coach Rose tweeted me and said he wants the season opener in Philly. Mm. Then Broncos and Commanders Thanksgiving night. That'd be a home game on Thanksgiving. Christmas in Kansas City. And the game versus Detroit will be primetime as well. I don't think they're going to get Thanksgiving and Christmas.
If they
Christmas.
Get Christmas, they're not getting Thanksgiving.
However, I say that. I know this for... I could text her real quick. I believe Nikki Javala, back when she was covering the Broncos, one year had a Christmas and a Thanksgiving. So, if there's one thing we know about Park Avenue and the National Football League, they're going to do what they want.
100%.
If they are in Spain on November 16th, I kind of have a tough time feeling they're going to be in Dallas on November 27th. But you never know, man. You never know. I asked a couple questions. What's that, B?
So you're right about that.
Tailgate Ted chimed in. He said, so about the primetime games, right? He said, tailgating time doesn't increase if it's an afternoon game or a night game. The red zone lot opens 5 hours prior to kick, and all other lots open 4 hours prior. He says they typically pre-tailgate. Imagine that, pre-tailgate.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it's a night game, you got way more time to pre-tailgate.
He said, we typically pre-tailgate before the lots open. Fans are cooking and drinking on Arena Drive by 6:30 a.m.
Yes.
For a 9 a.m. parking lot open. I could be wrong on this, but I feel like at least in years past, they have opened parking lots earlier for night games. I remember one year they had TVs set up in the parking lots and stuff because the Commanders were, I don't know if it was the opener, but the Commanders were a Sunday night game.
Oh,
they set up TVs in the parking lot.
I forgot what game that was. That was only a one time, once in a lifetime occasion, I think.
Well, here's what I know. The new people... The only thing I think really prevents opening the lots earlier is staffing, right? It's spending the money to have the staff there to open the lots.
Well, we know who wouldn't going to do that.
We know who wouldn't, and we know who will. These dudes will pay to open the lots. If the season opener, or let's not even say the season opener, week 5 is Sunday Night Football at home against the Lions. You think they're not going to open those lots? So that's an 8:20 kick, and it opens 4 hours earlier. So that's 4. You don't think they're going to open those lots at noon? Because I do.
They may.
This is the no bleeping around crowd, man. They will pay 4 extra hours for the staff.
They want people to feel they want the fans to have a great experience.
Now, they're not going to open the stadium earlier. But you know what else doesn't hurt? That what's the area you can go hang out in?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they got $5 beers beforehand.
Yeah.
I bet that joint will be open.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they got options.
Things will happen.
Professor Landini, how do you feel about Christmas in Kansas City?
I won't be going, so I won't mind it too much. Although I do hate the Chiefs, so having to watch them would ruin my Christmas. But you know, that's not a particularly big issue to me.
What do you want for Christmas? What are you thinking? You know, about halfway home to Christmas, what's on your wish list? What are you going to tell Santa?
I want the Chiefs to have a terrible season because I'm tired of them.
Okay. How do you feel about a Madrid game, Landfill?
I like it.
With me.
I like it.
Serious question.
I will not go. No.
All right. That wasn't where I was headed. A little inside baseball. Just kind of only relevant to the three of us, perhaps the cluster buster. How much of a gigantic pain in the ass do you think it's going to be for the radio program when B and I have to go to Europe?
Absolutely enormous.
We're ahead, right?
What's that?
We're going to be ahead of time.
Dog, I have no idea.
So if it's 10 to 2, it's going to probably be like 2 to something over there.
Oh, that's true.
It's 6 hours ahead.
Probably 6. So 10 is 4?
Yeah.
You might.
48.
It might be a.
Interesting show.
It might be. We might need a siesta. The tricky one would be Monday, because eventually we got to travel, and traveling back, you lose all the time, and it's an all-day thing. But whatever, we'll figure it. Let's cross that bridge when we get to it.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah. I think they're going to have a bazillion. I personally like 4 o'clock games. Kind of have the morning.
I like the 4 o'clock game because it allows me a chance to see some of the other games. Like, normally when you're playing the 1 o'clock games, you don't see them. You don't see any.
Right.
You know, and then after
you kind of don't see
that,
any football
working,
all day.
And you're working, right. And then you miss the 4 o'clock games for the most part.
Like, generally, a 1 o'clock game, I get home about halftime of the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
So the 4 o'clock game, for me, it's also like I can kind of be around, maybe go to my kids' game if it's like a 10 a.m. lacrosse game or something. Like, I could go to that and then just drive to FedEx from there, or Northwest, rather. So I don't mind the 4 o'clock games. I think I would love to find out what my man Chris Kerwin thinks, a dude that has to, like, put together highlights for the 11 when that time window just crunches and crunches and crunches.
You know what? As I always say, he'll figure it out.
He's a beast.
He's a professional. He'll figure it out.
I didn't even realize it. We're going to talk to Brent Johnson here in just a few minutes. Obviously, a ton of excitement for tomorrow's game 3 in Raleigh, 6 o'clock. You can listen to that right here on 106.7 The Fan. John Walton. Yo, also, if you are not syncing up your television with the Odyssey app, so you can just listen to Walton call the game rather than the all-Canadian broadcast it seems to be on ESPN. Like, if you're not syncing up Walton to the TV for these games, I don't know what you're doing. That's not even me being a homer. That's just, like, obvious. What is your one pick? Call your shot. You don't get Madrid or Kansas City on Christmas. Call your shot for a definitive either Sunday or Monday night game.
Eagles.
Which night?
Probably Sunday night.
I think you're right.
Sunday night is, like I said earlier, it has surpassed Monday night.
Shout out NBC. I agree with you on that. So I'm going to go a tidbit more obscure. I think Commanders Chargers in LA Monday night. I think that'll be a Monday nighter. When we come back, Brent Johnson joins the program. We are fired up to get on the Rude Guest Hotline and welcome in our friend Mr. Brent Johnson, Monumental Sports Caps analyst, former Caps goalie. Johnny, what's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
Dude, we're real good today. I'm going to say something to start. I kept waiting for you to come into the suite because I learn a lot when I watch hockey with you, and you guys stayed in the studio the whole night.
Yeah, I know. But it helped game one that we were out on F Street to come in and just kind of feel the vibe. Apparently, we're not doing the F Street thing until maybe game seven or so, if it goes that far.
Ah, got it. All right. How important was obviously getting the win, but perhaps bigger than that, just the Caps remembering to play their game?
I mean, it was, right? I mean, if you think back to last night, I think it's really important to remember that the defense of the Carolina Hurricanes, they really don't make very many miscues. They don't take many missteps out there. They're pretty steady. They make the smart plays. So you think back to Connor McMichael's first goal, and it's a break, right? It's a puck that shot, hits Gostisbehere in the face. And you take advantage of the miscue, but you have to execute. You have to. And that's just playoff hockey. When you get the opportunities, think back to game one, Ryan Leonard has the breakaway, doesn't really even get a shot off. It's things like that that come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
At least you make the goalie work, right? You have to make the goalie work and do something out there. So loved that they were able to capitalize off that, the first goal. And then another mistake they made was on their penalty kill. A team that was, I think, 19 for 19 in the playoffs up until John Carlson's goal last night. It's like one misstep, and the misstep is that they're sitting there and covering Alex Ovechkin, who's nowhere near the play, and that allows Tom Wilson, Dylan Strome, to kind of execute a beautiful passing play over to John Carlson, who everybody forgot about. Mm-hmm. It's things like that that's going to get them over the hump.
That the Carly goal was just beautiful, dude. Like, it's he was so nice, wide open on the backside. They finally got the puck over there, and he drilled it. It happened right in front of where we were sitting. And
nice.
It was awesome, dude. How – I don't want to speak for Brian. When it was 2-0 and then it was 2-1 and the way Carolina controls possession, how nervous were you until that Willie empty netter? I was nervous.
Nervous, yes. I think that the Capitals weren't nervous. I think that you knew that there was going to be a push, whether that be at 1-0 or 2-0 late in the game, no matter what. It's going to be a tight series. This series could go seven, guys.
Yeah.
They are so evenly matched. And so just watching the kind of 4 or 5 minutes of the last period last night kind of unfold, things were getting a little bit tighter in the defensive zone, and they were getting a lot of shots and pucks to the net. But the Capitals did a fantastic job at allowing LT sight lines to the puck. They did a fantastic job of getting body position, inside body position on the forward or whoever was in front of the net at those key times. So if there was a loose puck, you know, you have to go in between the stick and the guy, and it's not easy to get those rebounds. So, yeah, it seemed like they were getting a lot of action and, you know, a deflection here or a bad bounce here. It could have been 2-2. But I think even though Carolina Hurricanes put that much pressure on them, I still think that they were in control. They played the game the way that you're supposed to play the game. You know there's going to be a push. You know there's goalie's going to be pulled. You know all that stuff's going to happen. And you just got to do the little things right. If you get that opportunity to get the puck out, it's a second chance opportunities. You have to make good on them all the time.
Brent, Logan has played so well. I mean, what is it about him? Because he always seems to be right on balance and under control. Doesn't get like, you know.
I think that pretty much sums up his game, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's stated before that he likes to be one of those goaltenders who's very agile and can kind of go laterally really quick with that explosive power. But he also plays a game that's deeper and doesn't really it doesn't really come to that where he has to move that, like, be explosive and be so lateral because he's so under control. I look at his game, and we kind of talked about it a little bit last night in our post game, is that he's kind of changed a little bit throughout the regular season and going into the playoffs. You could see him playing a much lower to the ice game, meaning he's dropped his gloves down lower, which means that his crouch is deeper. And so to me, this is a goaltender that's playing percentages, right? If you beat me, it's going to have to be off of something, you know, extraordinary, where it'd be a deflection that's going wide or something, or it has to be a perfect shot. And if you can do that and make sure nothing gets through you in the process, then you're doing your game. You're helping your team win every time out there. The best part about his game, and I'll say this, even coaching kids, I think I say this from the first thing. Yes, obviously, number one is, hey, just go have fun with it, especially if you're a kid. But this, one of the other things that's right up there is just show me your battle. Show me your compete level. And I'm telling you, this guy, even though he's very humble in his press interviews, holy crap, is he a warrior. Yeah. Is he a battler? He doesn't want a BB to get by him out there. And when he does, he takes it, he accepts it, and keeps working. That, to me, that's just unbelievable character, a character you want in a goaltender. They, from goaltending standpoint, it's been absolutely beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Five games in Montreal, the one game in game three gets knocked out, gets hit in the head twice that game, gets kicked in the groin. Who knows what else happened to him that game. And, you know, he takes it on the chin, gets out of the net for a little bit, comes back even stronger in game four, and then they're able to clinch it at home and win. And he's been spot on, just like he was in the first round, in games one and games two. Remember, they didn't really have a chance in game one, and here they are winning with 6 minutes left to go in the game, and that's all due to LT. Mm-hmm.
We are talking with our friend Brent Johnson here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Give Johnny a follow if you'd like, at JohnnyGoalie12. Of course, you can watch him on Monumental Sports Network, all pre and post. Pre-game, post-game, all sorts of coverage going down as the Caps-Hurricanes series continues. You guys are probably on the air tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I'm guessing, ahead of the 6 o'clock puck drop.
Exactly, yes.
So, Johnny, I got to ask you, LT's been outrageous, but last night, I don't think it was an accident. The Caps PR sent Logan Thompson and Tom Wilson to the podium together. What did you make of Willie's game last night, man?
Well, oh, my God. I mean, everything we were writing down when we were watching the game was basically about Tom Wilson. And you're right. They put them in that post-game presser together because they did that in the Montreal series, and it was quite – it just went off quite well. And I think Tom Wilson is one of the guys that obviously the leadership role he's taken, but it's that mantle being passed down to him. It was sort of in the making in 2018, where you're seeing this guy come up. He's scoring 20, 25 goals a year. He's getting better offensively, but he's also like, he's gaining that mindset of, well, this is probably going to be, I mean, I say my team, not my team, but I will take the major leadership role in this team at one point. And you can see that kind of that mantle being passed to him. And even if you listen to like Coach Carberry's presser after, and just how, you know, if there's an adjustment that needs to be made, it might be Willie, Tom Wilson, that goes to him and says, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And I'll be honest with you guys, that doesn't happen from, a standpoint of a guy who's, maybe in your bottom six or, your last D pairing or whatever. Hmm. It's guys like that that have leadership. So he just showed by example out there how important it is to lead that way, sacrificing, working hard to get back to pucks, dislodging guys from the puck. We already know that he's been so physical and can be dominant that way with that Carrier hit last series. Mm-hmm. Things like that. It's just an onslaught. I'll be honest with you. If I'm the Carolina Hurricanes and I'm watching what Tom Wilson is doing, it's like I'm going to have nightmares because he was all over the ice when he was out there defensively, chipping in offensively with the empty net goal and the unbelievable pass, things like that. It's just so good to see. And it's going to be even more important because they're going to go into this hostile environment. Everyone knows in Carolina, it's going to be so tough to hear, so tough to communicate on the ice, and especially the pressure that they put on you offensively. There's going to be no room for errors. You're going to have to be very smart with pucks, and puck management has to be absolutely on point.
100%. Because I noticed that in both games. Well, especially a little bit last night, but the first game a lot.
Turnovers on their own zone, especially.
They weren't taking care of it very, very well in the first game, but they improved it last night.
Johnny, last one for me. You played 12 years in the NHL. Like you experienced a lot of coaches, a lot of different styles. Carberry seems to have something pretty damn special, and it's early in his NHL coaching career. But, I think about some of the people that have cycled through the Caps' top coaching job, and Trotz was obviously really good, and that thing went sideways for weird reasons. But, like, Carberry seems like the best coach here for a long time, and he seems like the right fit for a long time.
Yeah, coaching is all dependent, right? Like, you can get sour on a head coach, after winning the cup. Like, who doesn't take a coach that you have and you make a cup run and he's gone the next season? So they can sour on some players, and it's a very fine line where the coaches have to be strict, for lack of a better term, and they have to be malleable, like let the players kind of form their own, cliques and everything and figure that out. I think Carberry is doing a great job of that right now, because if you start, let's just say this. If you have guys that have bigger egos on your team, you have to know how to manage those egos, right? You have to know how to, like, whether or not you got to caress the ego or whatever you got to do. But you also have to be firm and steadfast with your decision-making, whether it's, hey, we're practicing this day and, I know you're tired or whatever, but we got to get out there. I think he's done a great job all season of managing that, managing egos, managing playing time and everything. And everyone on this team is going along with it just perfectly, right? Everyone knows their kind of role, their position. Last night in the third period, we didn't see Alex Ovechkin for 3 or 4 minutes. And that's right. That's the time to do that, right? We're on defense now. We want to make sure that puck's out of our zone and making the right play. So, and you don't hear Alex complaining. What's Alex most want? He wants the Stanley Cup. He wants to win. And the best way to do that is to listen to the coach that's got you here when they had no chance in hell last year to get to the playoffs, and everyone was calling them a lottery team this year. A rebuilding team, and here they are.
They rebuilt rather quickly.
Right? And a lot of different hands coming in. PLD, Chychrun, Matt Roy, guys that just have chipped in and fit so perfectly.
Totally. And you're so right that Ovi being the special person he is really helps in that regard. Johnny, we'll all be watching tomorrow, man. Thanks so much for making time. I know you're slammed this time of year.
No, it's going to be a fun one tomorrow. Let's hopefully we can get a win and at least a split there in Carolina.
Let's get a split. Bring it on back home. Thank you, Brent. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care. All right, see you guys.
All right. That is Brent Johnson. Make sure you're watching Monumental Sports Network for all of their pregame and postgame Caps coverage. They'll be on the air tomorrow at 5. If you want to listen to the game, you can listen to it right here, 6 o'clock. John Walton on the call. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Special day. I got to spend my evening with Chris Russell. Now I get to spend my lunchtime with Chris Russell.
Well, I tell you what, me trying to record video of Alex Ovechkin around your head and your ears. Whew, man alive. Love you. But it was tough.
We're going to body shame here, Roos?
No. I'm just saying it was tough. It was a challenge. I love you.
I agree with you, Roos. Every day I got to look over there. I can't see that.
Listen, every once in a while, I got to remind people I know how to report in the field. I had to jump on the OB position. I used it.
That's very smart of you, and you had great positioning, and you got in, at least one or two questions in for Alex. I was surprised they kind of made him available, actually, being that they kind of try and protect him every chance they get, but they didn't make him available on Tuesday night.
So Tuesday was a quick one in there.
Yeah. And there's, there's just something about a hockey locker room.
It smells like a hockey locker
room. We've all been in football locker rooms. I don't know what the old RFK Stadium locker rooms smelled like. My God, it is just the worst walking into a hockey locker room.
Oh. I'm sure you've been in there. Mm-hmm. Last night was poignant.
It was just and most of the players get changed, of course, in a different area, which fine, totally okay with it. But it does not eliminate the stink when you first walk in 10 minutes after the game because they're all sitting in there while Carberry's doing his.
Could be like that too now.
Yeah, but especially football locker rooms
after
at least
game.
Yeah, now football locker rooms are at least bigger.
What's remarkable?
I try to get in and out of that quickly because it stinks.
Yeah.
What's remarkable, Brian, is we had a plan with Rooster. We knew what we wanted to discuss.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Rooster sat down, insulted me, and then just started talking about how bad the Caps locker room smelled.
Kind of sounds just like our other friend, Nate.
It does. Now, none of that was what we planned to discuss.
I'm not trying to derail your show. Sorry. I just appreciate you guys making me relevant.
Now,
that's it.
Listen, a show like ours is so ironclad and scheduled out to the minute.
Right.
We have a very hard time improvising.
Right.
However, I talked. Did you ever know Joe Ferreira?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if we've hung out, but we've followed each other on Twitter and conversed.
So
very smart guy.
Very smart guy. Used to work for the NFL, mm-hmm. used to work in scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Every year I schedule an interview with him, kind of giving me, he's not calling any shots, but he's kind of making his predictions based on
he used to do.
Yeah, right. And he knows a lot of TV executives, all these sorts of things, right?
So he gets a little tidbits, whatever.
And I know that you are convinced that everything is done to specifically screw you at all times.
Uh-huh.
So I got good news. Ferreira does not think the Commanders will play Thanksgiving.
So is great news, if that's true.
However, he thinks they're going to play Christmas in Kansas City. And I just wanted to know your response to that.
That's bad. Really bad.
Are you going to drive there?
No. I'm not going to take a bus.
I was going to offer bus fare.
I was going to say,
train.
You guys as my Christmas present would try and get me a bus to Kansas City and then on to Saskatchewan after that.
Do you have your real ID yet?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Greg doesn't.
Yeah. Took care of business.
Can't go nowhere then. Not right now.
So, no Thanksgiving in Dallas, which is surprising just because, again, that's what they do every other year. And when they're not doing that, it's the Cowboys and the Giants.
It's because they're playing Christmas in Kansas City.
Right. But I thought they were going to double screw the Commanders because the Jaden Daniels factor and put them on both Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, I knew that was aggressive. But I thought that would be, if there's a year to do it, it would be this. Three Christmas Day games, three Thanksgiving Day games.
Thanksgiving is right after they get back from Madrid.
Well, that's the other problem, right? That started kind of trickling. I don't know who this Twitter feed guy is. I've never heard of him.
Guy named B. Mitz said it 4 months ago.
Oh.
It's true.
You had the date of mid-November?
No.
Or November 20th?
I just said the game was going to be in Madrid.
Okay, no. I've heard that before. And
the date is already out, dude.
The date is not right, but the date is not official.
The opponent's not out, but the date for the international games is out.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Like the London games, Berlin games.
I knew that. Right. The Spain game is what? November
16th.
16th. That is a full Sunday and a half before Thanksgiving, right?
Correct.
So if they do that, they could be on bye the following Sunday and then play not on a super short week on Thanksgiving in Dallas, if that's what the NFL wanted to do.
Sure.
Which, again...
Well, you're not on a team, they ain't going to screw them like that.
Just part of my objection is the short week turnaround stuff. Like, everybody acts like it's not a big deal. Well, yes, but it impacts the football team.
How does the short week impact you?
Because two games in 4.5 days, I can't be a genius. I can't paint a masterpiece. Yeah, exactly.
Landfill, have you noticed that Chris Russell's wearing a neon green hypercolor dry fit t-shirt? Where'd you get that thing?
I was running around. I had a lot going on this morning. And I'm not allowed to wear burgundy because you guys think that it means that I'm getting lucky.
But, yo, we support you wearing. We're a sex positive show. I support you wearing burgundy. It means things are going well.
Yeah, sure.
Well, so he trying to throw us off. That's the shirt now.
B, I mean, I only have so much of a wardrobe. You can't take away something
else. That's the green shirt.
You when we saw you walk into the aquarium there, Brian was particularly impressed at the you do seem to generally make an effort to wear a collared shirt. But this collared shirt in particular is
the
frayed.
Collar is like
it's pretty frayed. Just to add to this,
if you walked around with a stick with a bandana tied to the end of it, you would look like a hobo.
Okay,
if you go hang around by the railroads at Union Station, people will probably start giving you cash.
Try it out, Chris.
Listen, I need money. I mean, you know, I need money. I can pander.
Just so we're clear, you're convinced the NFL is screwing you.
Yeah.
Okay. I just we'll have to follow up Thursday morning.
I'd like to go to Madrid with you. Would you like me to tag along?
No. go with B.
I wonder how many bags you'll take.
B doesn't want to come watch wrestling with me. All I want is to hang out with Brian Mitchell, and he doesn't want to do it.
I wonder why.
You said wrestling and watching wrestling in a whirlpool. No.
Yo, we have to break. You have to start a show in an hour. That's the one and only Chris Russell. He's something else, man. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ben Stanick.